Suppose I'm hungry for a greater portion of peace, a greater portion of kindness or encouragement, a greater portion of sweet, precious time with Jesus. Suppose not only that, but I'm also hungry for not just that which God can give me, but I'm hungry for God Himself. Not in an elusive, ideological way, but I truly, with a pure and authentic heart and motives, desire these things. Now, imagine that before I start my workday, I get on my knees. And I'm going to spend 5 minutes in prayer asking for this, seeking this, pursuing this. And then at minute 4 and a half, the Savior walks up to me with a tray. And on that tray is called peace, kindness, encouragement, authenticity with me, all the things that I've been asking for. And then He bends over as if to serve me with the tray. And there I am, saying, "Oh God, would You give it to me? Please," I pray. Amen. And then I get up and I walk right past the tray. I walk over to my desk. I sit down and I begin to work on my sermon. How many of you notice a problem with this picture? Hudson Taylor, a famous British missionary to China in the 1800s, said, "Stop seeking, stop waiting, stop pursuing, accept." Except, I think there's some of us that at times deep down there's this thought, that there's this perspective, this sense within us that God doesn't really answer our prayers. I'm supposed to pray, I know that, and so I'm going to. And now I'm done. And maybe while I'm sitting here working, something will just happen to me. Now don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place and significant exhortation to seek and pursue. In fact, we've covered this at great lengths over the past several months. And this is incredibly important. In fact, it's vital. The point that I think Mr. Taylor is communicating is that sometimes we get so focused on the pursuit, we can get so focused on our seeking and the work and the warfare that's involved in it, that our relationship with God becomes one-sided. The fully giving of ourselves to God and fully receiving that which He has for us that we often speak about during the prayer of cleansing before our service each week, it often becomes fully giving of ourselves to God without much receiving what He has for us. Mr. Taylor said, "Stop seeking, stop pursuing, accept." The emphasis here is not on the ceasing of our pursuit of God and the things of God. The emphasis, the exhortation here is to accept, to receive. James chapter 4 says, "We don't have because we don't ask." This is true, and it's incredibly relevant to what we're talking about today, but sometimes I would argue we don't have because we don't receive. Relationally speaking, receiving means to take what we are hearing from someone and allow it to sink in and touch us. When we truly receive, we intentionally notice the way it has touched us and the way that it has made us feel, and then we share that with God or with someone else. It's a relational skill that applies to all of our relationships. And yet, the overwhelming majority of us do not receive. We hear, but we don't receive, and the two are not the same. Some of us at times do this deliberately, and some of us do this completely unknowingly. And part of the problem is that we aren't communicating with God. We do a wonderful job at communicating to Him, but not so much when it comes to communicating with Him. I love this quote from A.W. Tozier in his book, Alive in the Spirit. He says, more than that, I enjoy getting alone on my face before God and in the silence waiting upon him. As someone once said, prayer is wonderful, and sometimes it employs words. As I said last week, I am so thankful to be a part of a church family who really has a good grasp on prayer. Unlike many self-proclaimed Christians, especially in the Western world, I really think that we understand pray, and I really think that we do pray. We get it. We get prayer. We understand it. We do it. We know and understand the power that it has and the influence that it has, and we enjoy it. We get prayer. But does our prayer life look like this? And I'm preaching to myself here, family. Do our prayers sometimes employ words coupled with lots of listening and lots of receiving from God? Or does our prayer life consist almost exclusively of us talking and God unable to get a word in edgewise? Many of us are parents and grandparents, and if you aren't, you probably have friends who are, and so this example will still work for you. And let me just say that this is not an original example. Many of you have heard this example, you've read this example, and yet it's still a phenomenal example here. I want you to imagine for just a moment that the only way that you can communicate with your children or your grandchildren is when they initiate a conversation with you. And even then, you can only talk about what they bring up, the things that they put on the table. You cannot introduce any new topics. How would this be for you? Or worse yet, what if your child could come talk to you? They could share, they could vent, they could ask you for things, but you couldn't respond. Or maybe let's say you could respond 1 in 10 times. How would that be for you? So often our children and grandchildren go through things where we've been there and done that. We have such insight and lessons to share. We probably have godly wisdom and counsel that we would love to share. Perhaps discipline or correction, understanding or identification, and yet we're not allowed to share, and they're not able to receive from us. You see, we can clearly see how difficult, frustrating, heartbreaking, and many other emotions that we would feel that this would be. And yet, we do this exact same thing with our Heavenly Father. With good intentions and pure hearts and pure motives, we have, to our detriment, all but silenced the Lord God. And we have created a somewhat one-sided relationship with Him in which we are unable to receive from Him. I'll say that again. We have created a relationship with God in which He is unable to fully give of Himself to us, and we are unable to fully receive that which He has for us. And it's not because God is incapable or that He literally cannot, as if we have somehow bound God. It's because this is who He is, and He doesn't force Himself upon any of us. And so, this morning, I'd like for us to look at 3 things that we can do to remedy this situation and begin to actually receive, or to receive more fully, from God. So, number one, we allow God to initiate with us. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean we just move on with our lives and give God the quote-unquote freedom to get our attention by any means necessary? Well, no. That's not at all what I mean, and this approach is quite frightening to even consider. What I mean is we spend intentional time with God, allowing and even humbly requesting and pleading that He initiate with us. We might say, how do you want to use me today? Is there anything specific that you desire from me? We might say, what do you have for me here with respect to a certain situation? What do you want me to see in this? We might even say, Lord, what would you like to talk about today? The point is that we give God great freedom and respect and honor by allowing him to initiate with us. And it's not just about honoring him or trying to be more respectful of him and our relationship with him, but this is incredibly advantageous to us. Again, think about our children and grandchildren. So often they really benefit from things that we teach them or share with them or discuss with them. And think, it's almost always something that they didn't come to you. They didn't come to us and ask for it. The overwhelming majority of things that they have learned and benefited from, and it was the same with us, with our parents, they didn't ask for. And the reason that they didn't ask wasn't because they didn't want whatever the benefit or the teaching was. They had no idea that it even existed. They had no idea that they needed to learn this thing or that they could benefit from this thing. They just didn't know. How much more do you think this applies with us and our Heavenly Father? In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Lord says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." It says he will show us great and mighty things which we do not know. There's so much that we don't know to ask for. There's so much that could be game-changing that we just never get around to asking about in our time with the Lord because we just aren't even aware that it exists or that we need it or could benefit from it. I think this takes us back to what James says about not having because we don't ask. It's also back to that top shelf stuff that's really important to God that we don't even know is up there. How can we possibly ask for things that we don't even know about, that we don't even know to ask for? And the point is, we can't. We won't. We need God to initiate those things with us, which means we need to give him the opportunity to do so. So I think there's great benefit and great blessing and great wisdom to be gained from intentionally sitting down with God and just letting him initiate with us. Another example, family, and many of you can relate to this, is in the way that we pray. So often our prayers with God, in those prayers, we determine what we or what someone or what a situation needs, and then we ask God for it. We're so smart. We've got a really good, well-educated Western mindset. We know what we need. The idea of letting God initiate here just doesn't even cross our mind. We don't even consider it because we already know. We say, "Lord, give me patience to deal with this person." He says, "You don't need patience. You need a softer heart." We say, "Lord, I've got so much on my plate this week, so much I've got to get done. Help me to manage my time well so that I still might find time for you." He says, "You don't need time management. You need idol crucifixion. Lord, give me this job so that I can provide for my family." He says, "My son, I'm deliberately not giving you this job so you will learn to trust that I will provide for your family." And the examples can go on and on. This is something that God has convicted me of recently, and it has dramatically changed the way I pray. Now, many times my prayers include some level of, "Lord, I really don't know what to pray here, or even how I should pray, but you do." And then I'll spend some intentional time asking and listening and see if he'll share with me how he desires for me to pray, how he's actively praying for me. And then I'll pray that, or I may just pray very generally and leave the specifics up to him. Hebrews 7:25 says that the Lord Jesus Christ says that he always lives to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus, listen family, the Lord Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. Try to wrap your mind around that for just a moment. It Such a powerful and comforting truth. And my takeaway here is that he knows exactly how we should pray and exactly what we should pray. And oftentimes, if we'll just ask and allow him to initiate with us here and allow him to give us his direction here, he will. He's so good and faithful to us. Amen, family? He doesn't just ignore us. Our God is an incredibly relational God. We have a relationship with him, which involves real relationship skills, just like we use in any other relationship. And this relationship that we have with him is not a mechanical process. God is not a robot or a computer program that we can manipulate with certain words or phrases. He's not a genie in a bottle who grants us magic wishes if we just pray or fast hard enough or if we use the right commanding and demanding action verbs in our prayers. He's God. He is a person, and he desires to have an intimate relationship with every one of us. And I suspect that most of us are saying, well, of course, I know that. And yet, for many of us, our relationship with God is often one-sided. It's mechanical. It's rote. It often reflects religion more than it does a relationship. And so, if we're going to fully receive from God all that he has for us, whether it be at the start of our day or throughout the day, while we read the Word after a major success or win, or even in the midst of the worst trial we have ever experienced, intentionally allowing God to initiate with us in this very relational way is imperative, family. If we don't do this, there's so much that we'll miss. So much blessing, sharing, ministering, discipling, intimacy, wisdom, and so on. The list goes on and on. God has an abundant life available to us that he means as blessing toward us, and he means for our good. But we have to be receptive. We have to receive from him, purposefully allowing God to initiate with us is huge. We intentionally say, God, I'm here. I'm listening. And then we give him the freedom to speak. Perhaps we get more specific with the topic, but we still sit back and allow God to initiate the direction of the conversation in whatever way he chooses. I believe that this not only greatly honors God and benefits us, but it also brings about a closeness between him and us that is not possible without doing this. And so we allow God to initiate with us, family. Another thing that we can do to remedy this often one-sided relationship with God that minimizes our receiving from him is we allow God to minister to us. Allow God to minister to us. Sometimes he may do this through initiating with us, but it's still a point that needs to be made. Now, when I say minister, I mean it very generally. Quite broad. It may be to encourage, to build up, to strengthen. It may be to give value and understanding. It may be to provide for or to meet a need, like when the angels ministered to Jesus after his 40 days of fasting, or a variety of other things. And so the way that I intend ministering here is quite broad, but there is a major emphasis on receiving. For example, I tell Rachel that she ministers to me when I see her being such a wonderful, selfless, loving mother toward Addie. I remember the first time I told her that, and she was kind of confused and at the same time blown away because she wasn't directly doing anything to or for me, and yet I was still being ministered to by her. There are times when I get to take care of Addie for a few hours and give Rachel a break, and she shares with me how much this ministers to her. There's times when Rachel shares a struggle or a difficulty, and instead of me trying to solve the problem like I'm most often prone to doing, I just listen and make her feel heard. I relate and identify with her and make her feel understood. This ministers to her and to most women more than anything. And God wants to do this with us. He wants to give us understanding. He wants to relate to us, relate with us, and identify with us and our struggles, because he himself was tempted in every way that we are. So he can uniquely identify with our pain and weaknesses. Many times he may just want to encourage us and build us up. He may want to give us an attaboy or way to go, son. Or he may want to just share with us on a really deep and intimate level. The problem here is oftentimes we don't receive this. True intimacy involves two things: trust and vulnerability. And we don't like vulnerability. Here's an example. "Hi, Brian. How are you doing this morning?" "Well, I'm feeling pretty down and defeated this morning. I really am struggling with God's goodness because there's been significant trials that have been persisting in my life for months." I mean, we just don't share like this. Men sure don't. And women don't either, unless it's in a very secure and closed-off setting. Being vulnerable like this makes us uncomfortable because there's risk involved. If I share in this fashion, I risk my reputation. I risk feeling looked down upon. Maybe I don't ask certain questions because I don't want to risk feeling stupid. We just don't like vulnerability. And because of that, we don't share vulnerably, and we don't receive vulnerably, because that gets emotional and we just don't like that. How many of you have ever been given a compliment and you just couldn't receive it? You brushed it off, you compared yourself to someone else who is even better, or you just dodged the compliment entirely? Many of us do this. Many of us think we're being modest or avoiding pride somehow, but often we do this to the detriment of the relationship, whether it's with God or with someone else, because we don't engage and we don't receive. Now, remember what I said at the beginning. From a relational standpoint, receiving means to take what we are hearing from someone and allow it to sink in and to touch us. And then we intentionally notice, we recognize the way it has made us feel, the way it has touched us, and then we share that, again, with God or with someone else. It's an incredibly relational skill. Here's a personal example, somewhat personal, anyway. A few weeks ago, someone shared some of their heart with me. This person shared about some struggles, some frustrations, some weaknesses that were going on, and they weren't sure how I would take it. And after I responded, here's what this person said. "Brian, thank you for your kind understanding. I think God told me that you would be honored by my risk and not take it negatively. Your gentle response has truly put me at ease, especially pointing me to follow God's lead, which is all I should ever be doing. You've made me feel heard, understood, and valued, although I wish I could find more words to say it. The things you've clarified below are extremely helpful. Thank you." I mean, who talks like this? This person has truly mastered receiving. And this is how God wants us to be with him. He wants us to allow him to minister to us, and he wants us to actually receive it, not just hear it, by sharing with him how we feel, how it's affected us, what it means to us, and so on. So family, we allow God to minister to us. And lastly, if we desire to fully receive from God, we must seek God's perspective. This is very closely related to allowing God to initiate with us. Oftentimes we allow him to initiate his perspective with us. Most of the time, our natural inclination and our initial perspective is not God's. Our perspective is often shaped by our circumstances, our experiences, our emotions, and God's is not. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." His thoughts, his ways, his perspective, his wisdom, and so on is not ours. And yet, I do believe that he desires to share this with us. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if we're going to get God's perspective, we must first recognize that ours is not his, and that ours is flawed. Now, I really do desire to practice what I preach. I really desire to do this with a heightened level of awareness and intentionality before I preach on something. But this week, God has really pushed the limit. This week, it's just been packed with things, unusual situations and circumstances that have forced me to meet with God over and over and over again to really gain his perspective on a variety of different things. There have been situations where I'm emotionally compromised, or perhaps I feel very strongly or passionate about something. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with all of that, it's important to receive God's perspective rather than to rely on our own fallible one. Here's an example. When I was taught and trained to preach, and of course the Lord is still training and developing this skill, I was counseled to meet with God and gain his perspective after I preach, or even after I teach in some less formal setting. It's important that I seek God and see what he has to say. Does he have encouraging feedback for me? Does he have constructive criticism for me? Did I blow it? Did I nail it? Oftentimes, I think pastors and preachers are tempted to gauge their content, their sermon, their teaching, or whatever it is, by the response of the recipients. And this is highly dangerous and flawed. I could preach what might seem to you to be the best sermon you have ever heard in your entire life and have every single one of you give me phenomenal feedback. And yet, God could be incredibly unhappy and not pleased with me at all. For example, those who preach a prosperity gospel. Most of their recipients are pretty thrilled and happy with it. On the flip side, I could just get terrible response from all of you guys. And then when meeting with God about it and allowing him to speak with me, he might say, "Well done, my son. You did exactly what I wanted in the exact way that I desired. And although you may not see it for some time, I used what you preached today to plant some seeds, and there will be fruit. Thank you for listening to me, trusting me, and following me." And the examples can go on and on. We might say, "Father, this has been weighing heavily on my mind lately. I've shared with you so much of my thoughts and my feelings and my desires. Would you now please share with me your thoughts, your feelings, your desires? Am I seeing this the way that you're seeing this? What's your perspective here, Father?" There have been times in my life, and no doubt in yours, when someone has done or said something that, from my perspective, was completely and incredibly uncalled for and rude. Or perhaps reading between the lines, I heard some hurtful things. And then when I talked to God about it and asked him to give me his perspective, he shared something completely different with me. On one occasion, he confirmed to me that the person's heart and motive was pure and good. And while their word choice could have been better, I was being hurt and offended by something that was not overtly present, and it certainly wasn't intended. There have been times where he's affirmed the way I feel and identified with me and comforted me in my accurate understanding. And having him tell me that I was seeing it accurately and encouraging me and making me feel understood, and yet he was able to minister to me in a way that I had not expected at all. One of these times, he told me that the person was having a terrible day and that they lashed out at me, taking something out on me that had nothing to do with me. And then he gave me counsel as to how to deal with this person and this situation. Doing this with God can radically change our outlook on a situation, a relationship, an experience, or just life in general. And this is what God desires from us. He desires that we run to him like little children. He desires to have a real relationship with us, one that is built on vulnerability and trust, and one in which we receive from Him. He desires to literally transform the way we think and to transform our minds in line with His. Last week we talked about fasting, pleading with God, and pursuing Him through it. And this is incredibly important. But many of us have never gone beyond that to fully experience receiving from God and all that He has for us. If this is something you feel like God is kind of poking you with this morning, and you still have some questions, please come talk to me. Please just send me an email or give me a phone call. Let's get together and talk through this some more, because I believe this is incredibly important in our relationship with God. And of course, Satan would love to do anything he can to sabotage this. So family, let me encourage you to engage in this very relational relationship with God, in which we allow Him to initiate with us and to minister to us, and in which we seek His perspective. And if you're confused and want more clarity, please come talk with me. I believe that if we do these things, we will truly receive from God with completeness and with joy, and we will experience the abundant life that God has for us. So family, let's take just a moment and respond to our Heavenly Father. He's given us such a relational teaching about how to be relational with Him. And so what better way to respond than to just talk to Him about it now? Let's tell Him how much we really want to receive from Him. You may wish to take this opportunity and allow God to initiate with you and to receive from Him now, or you may wish to just tell Him how uncomfortable you are with all of this. Either way, let's take just a moment and respond to Him. Let's do this now. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful that You aren't silent. You aren't a brick wall or a robot. You are the God of the universe, and You desire a close and intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And this blows my mind. You care so much for us and desire this kind of closeness with us. I pray that You would use this relational concept of receiving to bring about a oneness and a unity with You that many of us have never experienced. And I know this kind of oneness and closeness with You is not something that the enemy wants, and it's not something he's thrilled about and wants us to really lay hold of. And so I pray that if any of us have insecurities or questions, that You would bring them to mind so that we can seek clarity on them. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we greatly desire this intimacy with You. Enable us to hear and receive from You well, as You share with us and minister to us in a way that only You can. I ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.